Welcome to Unpacking Life's Crazy. I'm Esperanza Phoenix. In this podcast, I share my unusual life experiences, unique perspective, and frank conversations with people like me who use humor to cope with physical disabilities, mental health conditions, and extraordinary life circumstances which set us apart from societal norms. Expect to hear discussions about controversial and adult topics. There will be swearing. Life can be a crazy journey. Let's unpack it together. Today we have a special guest, Benny Shakes. Benny Shakes was kind enough to interview me on his podcast a while back, so today we are going to be interviewing him. Benny Shakes is a powerhouse of funny, built on a foundation of clever joke writing, on topics including the daily struggles of living with a disability to observations about redneck life. Benny is a relatable, affable comic who raises the roof every time. Benny has also assembled a live video cast who air their show once a fortnight on Benny Shakes' social media page. I say in a fortnight because Benny is in the UK, and while that doesn't make a lot of sense to us here in the US, I guess they still use that term there. I'll have to look it up. On their show, they interview a variety of disabled comedians, setting an example that disabled people deserve the respect of others. Benny has also started a disability awareness show called Below the Belt, where he shows non-disabled comedians what it's like to be disabled, and it's really quite funny. I watched one episode where they were opening crisps with oven mitts on. Crisps. We call them potato chips. They call them crisps. Without further ado, comedian Benny Shakes. Welcome, Benny. How are you doing today?
I'm fine. I've just finished work. So, yeah, I'm a bit tired. You're just getting up and I'm just going to bed. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's how it works when you're on, I guess, the other side of the pond, as they say.
Yeah.
Benny, tell us where you live.
I live in the UK, in Nottingham, where Robin Hood.
Yes, that immediately popped into mind. Cartoon foxes and such. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I mentioned that you invited me onto your podcast a while back, and that was so cool. I really had a lot of fun.
Yes, it was fun. I really enjoyed that one.
And one of the things we talked about in that podcast that I want to follow up with you on is cannabis, which is not legal there in the UK.
No, it's not. But we can get the oil. What's the oil?
The CBD? You can get the CBD oil? Right.
You can get that either in a chemist or I've just researched it quickly online. You can buy a prescription from a doctor online, and then you can either have a tablet, a vape, and something else. So I don't know, that might be a bit stronger, I'm not too sure.
Well, let's go back a little bit. Why don't you tell the audience what your disability is? Because you're a disabled comic. What disability are you dealing with?
Well, I have cerebral palsy. I was born with that at birth. It's lack of oxygen to the brain. And I also suffer with mental health issues. So,
well, I think that's fairly typical. Either you have a mental health disability, which then eventually leads to physical health problems, or if you have physical health problems, it's going to affect you mentally. Dealing with it too.
I'm struggling a lot lately with my mental health, but hey-ho, everyone's in the same boat, I suppose.
A lot of us are. The pandemic has really forced us into isolation and been hard for so many people. I hear you folks, didn't you have like another lockdown and now you're coming out of it? Is that what's going on?
Yeah, we're coming out of it. So the shops and the pubs are open now. So everyone's outside in the freezing cold.
It's cold there still.
Yes, it's absolutely freezing here at the moment.
Oh my goodness. We're having a changeable weather in California. That's what our springs are like. It's, especially in the Bay, it's like one day you're like, freaky cold. And the next day you're like, oh my gosh, it's shorts weather. So,
don't
know what's going on. So, are you feeling safe about the reopening, or do you personally feel it's too soon? Where do you feel about how that's going?
I feel reasonably safe because I don't see many people anyway. And
I like that too.
And I've got the vaccine, so I'm getting I'm getting my second injection in May the 14th, so I'm not immune to it, but it will save my life.
Right, it's afforded you some protections. Yeah. Well, you and I are sort of in the same boat. I got my first one a couple weeks ago as well. In fact, I'm wearing my vaccination shirt.
Oh,
really? See, these shirts are perfect for vaccination.
Oh,
it's got a little cutout. And they vaccinated me right in the middle of my turtle. And when she vaccinated me, I bled like a stuck pig. It's not typical. But she vaccinated me, and the look on her face, because apparently most people don't bleed. So I started bleeding, and she's immediately rushing around trying to get cotton swabs. She's probably terrified I'd be upset. But, you know, I've got fibro and weird physical stuff happens all the time, so it's like, meh, okay.
It's something. I mean, I didn't realize you shouldn't drive after you've had your injection. So there's me, I've had my injection, I feel spaced out, and there's me driving my car.
Oh, no!
No one told me.
So they do they keep you there after the vaccination to make sure you don't have a reaction or something?
Well, they meant to.
But you ran out the door.
No, they thought, well, he's going to have a poor pussy. He'll be fine.
Well, I'm glad you made it home. You're vaccinated and you're waiting for your second dose. So, yay. So that means more safety being out in public.
Yeah. Which vaccine did you have?
I got the Moderna.
Right.
How about you?
I got the Oxford vaccine.
Oh, how posh.
I didn't get no x-ray vision, no superpowers, so never mind.
Well, if you get lost, I guess Bill Gates can track you down, they say.
Yes.
You know, tag me like a dog in case I get lost. It's fine.
Yeah.
So most of what you're doing, I mean, all of what you're doing right now is online, which for most of it is. Are you anticipating that changing now that things are opening up? Do you have something in the works and on?
Well, I've got my second real gig booked in June. So I've got one at the end of May and one at the beginning of June. So I'm getting booked up slowly.
Nice.
To do the things which I really can't wait. that my show will stay online for good. And
oh, good.
We will see if we can keep them going. So, yeah.
Well, that's great. Oh, and, well, let me take a little moment here to tell those who are watching, please push the button, like, subscribe, and look up Benny Shakes, because he has his own YouTube channel. You know, make sure you subscribe to that. You know, look him up. Yeah, sign up and so you can see all this stuff that he's doing. I mentioned in my little intro that you've started a different show now where you have abled people and you have them do experiments, challenges to show them what it's like to be disabled. Is that correct? Yeah. Is that the best way to put it?
Yeah. So they experience how we feel every day, and we've had some really good responses, especially when we do The Price Is Wrong, where they have to guess how much the disability ages, the adaptiveness, and they're like, you can't pay that, that is ridiculous. Well, do pay it. So,
Yeah, it would just be a sad game show, but we could have like the Price Is Wrong U.S. version where people have to tell you what they think a medical procedure costs.
Yeah. Well, if you want below the value, you can do
what do you think it costs if you break your finger and go to the ER in L.A.? Do it for you Brits, you wouldn't believe it.
I know. It's like you're back in the Victorian ages still.
Yeah, well, except for the leeches and bloodletting, pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, how has that affected you guys getting the vaccine and treatment?
Well, that's really interesting. I'm hoping that we are going to have a huge awakening in this country because of the fact that this is such a global emergency, and it's just immoral to be like, oh, you're poor, you can't get the vaccine, or you're poor, now you have COVID, I'm sorry, you're going to die.
Yeah.
So they made special legal, our government made the decision that everything COVID is being covered by government programs.
Right.
So if you go into the hospital and test positive for the COVID testing, of course, you don't have to pay for that. If you go into the hospital with COVID and you need treatment, you're not supposed to pay for that out of pocket either, or at all. And then the vaccine is available to everybody. So COVID, everything is being covered. Right? So if they can cover COVID everything, why the fuck can't they cover everything else?
Yeah, I mean, we don't mind giving you the NHS.
I and many other people would love to copy what you have going on there. And there's just so much, there's a lot of scare tactics in our media. And our media is, look, I think we have like 11 companies that own the majority of the media outlets. So they kind of control the messaging because additionally, we also have pharmaceutical ads on TV and radio. So they go on there and say, if you have this, you can take this drug and it. And then afterwards, you have this list of like hundreds of side effects, including death. These pharmaceutical ads play and they say, oh, if you're suffering from ED, erectile dysfunction, you can take this drug. Ask your doctor about it. And that's how it is all the time. So you've got pharmaceutical companies that are paying the media advertising money to advertise on their shows. So they're not necessarily excited about cutting out Big Pharma or cutting out the middleman of insurance companies, because they also advertise those. So, yeah, there's a lot of financial reason for them to want to keep it for profit. It's deeply immoral. And it's killing people. But that's what our system is right now. And if you have a disability like I do, then there are programs to cover a lot of it. But like I'm dealing with this weird thing where I went to my doctor and I'm, hey, can I get a handful of lidocaine patches per month when I have a really bad day for my pain, like when I'm traveling and stuff? And she's like, well, I can't because the insurance won't cover it. First, you have to take these 6 highly addictive, horrible narcotics. And if those don't work, then I can prescribe.
Really? Oh, God.
Because of the insurance company.
Crazy.
Yeah, so it's pretty insane. Do you want to tell us where you are going to be performing next, or is that still kind of up in the air? Is that something you're going to be announcing later?
I'm performing in Leeds. I think it's West Yorkshire, Midwest, or middle of Yorkshire. I'm not too sure. So it's Leeds, Yorkshire. Jack Beeson runs it, but yeah, I can't wait till I get out and prove to the world that I can do more than 10 minutes of comedy, so start paying me.
There's always that. Oh, in addition to liking and subscribing, I always do a little, okay, now I'm blanking on the word. I always do a little blog, a little post on my website about the episodes, if there's additional information and all of that. But also on my website, I have the buy a cup of coffee thing. So if you want to buy Benny a cup of tea, or some biscuits. Make sure you make note of that when you buy me a cup of coffee, and I'll pass on some money to the UK so you can get some crumpets or something. and you just came from work, you said. So tell us a little bit about your day job.
I work at a farm teaching children who can't cope in a normal school. So they come
Is that like developmental or developmental issues or behavioral or?
It's all of that. Disabled mentally and behavioral problems, and we teach them animal care, and my job is to teach them to how to grow veg.
Oh, nice.
I manage all their allotments, and I plant baby trees so we can keep green and that's my day job. I do 1 day pay, and because I'm desperate to get out of the house, I do another day free of charge.
Nice.
Yeah. So I love it. So yeah.
So during this the COVID, were you able to work with the kids, or was there a time when you weren't able to?
No, unfortunately, I can't work with the children at the moment. for their safety and mine, more mine.
Right.
So I just stay in the fields growing my veg.
that's a lovely pastime too. You're a fan of gardening. Do you have your own garden as well, or just professional gardening?
Yeah, no, I've got my own garden. I've got a big shed where I grow all my veg and design my own bird boxes and all sorts. So, yeah.
Nice, nice. Yeah. So you have your own little workshop where you do all that stuff. That's great. I'm a fan of mini gardening because I'm in an apartment in the city.
Yeah.
So we just have planter boxes outside our double glass doors. But I really enjoy especially the herbs because I can go out there and I take a little bit of rosemary, a little bit of oregano, whatever, when I make dinner. It's awesome. We got two baby tomato plants we just started. I'm hopeful.
I had tomato plants. Then I took them out of the propagator and thought, oh, that'd be fine. Well, Mr. Frost came knocking on the door and killed 85 tomato plants.
Oh, no.
I've got to reseed them all.
So it was a tomato massacre.
Yeah, it was.
Well, that's a shame.
Yeah, it was.
we were doing our gardening just on Sunday. My boyfriend went and picked up the two tomato plants, and I'm like, well, let's rearrange things. Oh, he got us another cilantro too. I put it around what we already had going on. And that's the other big herb that I can go through fast is a lot of cilantro. Some people hate it. They say it tastes like soap. Are you a soap cilantro person?
I've never tried it.
It's very common in Mexican food, sometimes used in Indian food, and occasionally Chinese food as well. But it has a really pungent, I think it smells like springtime. You have to try it and tell me if you hate it or you love it, because apparently it's one of those things where you can have like a recessive gene or something, and people who have that gene swear it tastes like soap. They say it's gross. So I guess you love it or you hate it. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
Well, I had a beef with you Brits last night. I was very, very unhappy.
What have we done this time?
I turned on my TV and BritBox, which we are subscribed to for a year, tells me it's not available in this country.
Why?
We're like starting it and restarting it and trying to log in, trying to figure out what the heck is going on. And we could not get into BritBox for anything last night. I have no idea why, but we had just 2 nights ago discovered Gavin and Stacey.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to lie.
Okay, don't go away. Giving us some more light. I was unaware of Gavin and Stacey. I didn't know James Corden did that show.
Oh, yes, that made him.
It looks like it. I get it now, but.
Yeah. Well, he co-written, I think.
That was like a co-writing co-producer.
Yes. Gavin's best friend.
You let me know if you come up with it. I don't know it.
Yeah, well, I've got several proposals. Vanessa.
There you go. Yeah, I didn't know that was out there, and I was like, whoa, this is like super cute. So we watched a couple episodes, and I was like, let's go watch another episode of that one. We've been binging through various things during the pandemic, and I was like, let's watch another episode. But BritBox is like, no, fuck you. I don't know. I don't know what their problem was, but this morning I checked, it's back. So you're off the hook. My grandpa is back. I won't hold you personally.
If my babies were out of the EU now.
Yeah, that's what my boyfriend said. He's like, oh no, it's Brexit. Brexit fucked us over and took our Britbox. I am a huge fan of British TV. I have been my whole life. When I was a kid, I was like addicted to PBS. Public Broadcast System is what it stands for. So it's public television where we have like Sesame Street and those kinds of things. Yeah. And then they like every once in a while they interrupt you and tell you that to give them money. Oh. Do you have that?
No.
They come, donate now and we'll send you this tote bag. It's just kind of how they would get some government funding and then it was donations. So it wasn't like a commercial station. Yeah. It's a public station. And they used to have mystery theater. And one of my favorites they had back then was All Creatures Great and Small.
Oh, yeah, that's back on,
I saw that there's a new one. I haven't seen it yet because I'm trying to watch my way back through the old one.
Yeah.
And for those of you who are unfamiliar with the show or the name, there was this vet who wrote this series of amazing books about his experiences working as a veterinarian, large animals, farms, small animals, the whole thing. And watching it as a kid, oh, I'm not talking to you, Siri, go away. stop listening. Watching it as a kid, I was not properly appreciative of that show because they're actually filming real veterinary procedures.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy has his arm in the ass of a cow.
Yeah.
Pulling these babies out and stuff. And I grew up on a farm, so I know how very real that is. And I find it amazing. It's great.
Yeah, my friend's got a herd of 12 cows. And I just love going out there and just sitting in a field with loads of cows. They're amazing.
Oh, they are. They're lovely. I would never personally, I mean, I dream that maybe sometime I'll have a property and I could maybe have a couple smaller animals. I grew up on a sheep ranch. But, yeah, so I have pulled a sheep out before. I have pulled a lamb out.
Yeah.
And it's pretty gross. I love the British TV, Monty Python, Are You Being Served, the classics, the old fun.
Yeah.
And of course, Doctor Who.
Yeah.
There was a kid I went to school with who was obsessed with Doctor Who. And he always dressed in the doctor suit, the long trench coat with the super long scarf and the hat.
In
high school, all through high school, he wore that. Spring, I don't know how he wore it. He must have been cooking in that thing.
Yeah.
This is California. It's like the 15th of September, and you're wearing a full hat and scarf and trench coat. You're nuts.
Yeah, because I think Dante's from your neck of the woods.
Dante.
Yeah, Superman Productions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's from your neck of the woods, I do believe.
Now those, there's some newer things that were recorded there. Like, I believe, one of my recent favorite watches was Sex Education.
Oh,
have you seen that one yet?
No, from this country.
I'm pretty sure. It's definitely all British actors.
And what is it about?
It's a Netflix original, and It's about a kid whose mom is a sex therapist, and then he winds up doing sex therapy at the high school, basically.
Yes. Wasn't that like American Pie?
In some ways, it's similar.
Yeah. I thought it was American.
That, well, everybody in it is. It's set in Britain. Yeah, it's very much. Yeah, they use weird terms. Like this one girl, a picture of her menge gets spread
around. I'm hoping they do a new series of that.
I hear another season is coming.
Oh, good.
Yeah. And then, of course, we binge watched, which we hadn't. Somehow we missed the whole trend before, but we finally watched Downton Abbey.
I won't watch that.
I like historical stuff, so that part of it I enjoyed was the historical part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might enjoy it because I like all the old type films and soaps.
In some ways I'd say it's like that. It's like it's very much soap opera set in the time period. So you witness things like the war and stuff from that perspective. That part was kind of interesting. I'm usually not into like watching something that's trendy. Which is why I didn't watch it before. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Everybody's into that. I don't know.
It's like the royals about the royal family.
Did you watch that? I've just finished it, and
boy, that was a shocker. Well, the royals had 10 disabled family members in asylum, in mental institutes.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of disability within the royal family. Too much crossbreeding and you know, somebody has a disability, then that spreads, and then you've got two cousins married to each other, and that's a lot of crazy stuff.
Yeah,
well, you guys have had a lot of, on our side of the pond, controversy about your side of the pond with Harry. And,
I mean, you've got Harry now, so...
Yeah, he defected.
Well, I think it's going to make him being over there because he can be Harry.
Right.
We all love them. Instead of being Prince Harry, he's just Harry, and he's doing amazing work over there. So yeah.
Well, his mother was an amazing woman.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, and I I'm impressed that basically the paparazzis were harassing his wife in much the way that they harassed his mother.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, fuck this, we're getting out.
Yeah.
And I was like, yes, that is what you do when you love somebody. You say, okay, no, we're coming out of this situation. Yeah. I'm going to take care of the woman I love.
Yeah. But, I've got his father's name.
Charles
and Diana.
Right.
It wasn't their fault. It was the rules what ruined them. So
it's sad and it's ridiculous because
it is.
You know, I don't. Based on what I've heard in the history and things, I don't think the Queen agrees with the way the whole process happens.
No.
You know, she seems like a pretty tough cookie. I mean, what, she drove jeeps during the war?
Yeah.
And she's not a shrinking violet by any means, but it's such a parliamentary structure, tradition. I don't know how you change that. I guess Harry is doing his best to make some changes, and, you know, it's got to evolve.
I think once William comes king, I think there will be a lot of big changes with
it. So do you think it is time for the monarchy to just stop being a monarchy to...
No, because they bring in a lot of big deals. What the Prime Minister, him or she can't be in two places at once. So having the monarchy, he or she can say, look, you go and make that deal and I'll make this deal. So they work together. So the
Prime Minister deals with the business office negotiations, and the monarchy deals with the, here, have some tea and crumpets, what shall we do, issues.
Yes.
So there's the finessing, and then there's the more political threats and and sanctions that side of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Queen occasionally has to pour something stronger than tea to.
Oh yeah.
To her.
I bet she's been in some awful meetings where she's like, get me out of here. I'm the queen.
So. Yeah, I'm sure she would have had some choice words for our former president. I used air quotes because he really, yeah.
Yeah. Did they meet? I can't remember. Did they ever meet?
I think there was one meeting, and Trump threw tantrums because he wanted to get, like, the royal coach ride and invited to Buckingham Palace and all of that stuff. And I think he did have one meeting with her, but it certainly wasn't at Buckingham Palace, and it wasn't all the fanfare that he wanted, you know. He wanted all the pomp and circumstance, and she's like, okay, we'll have tea if I have to.
Yes. she put her foot down for one time. Yes.
And then she just lost her husband this past
time. I know. It's crazy.
Although I saw some recent photos of him. He didn't look like he was doing very well.
He wasn't. He was in and out of hospital for the past 2 years, so...
Yeah. Well, he had a good run.
Yes, he did.
What, 99?
Yes. Nearly 100, yeah.
He almost made it, not quite, but...
Yeah.
So can't complain about that, right?
I don't know how long the Queen's got now.
Yeah. Old couples, that's a thing. That next year or 2 years is a real risky time from what I've seen, I mean, obviously it's documentaries and interviews and things like that, but it seems like they were close, that they were a good couple, not just a convenience. And
they were, I mean, without him, the royals would have gone bankrupt in the 70s. So he was the one who brought TV cameras into the wedding, the crowning of the Queen. And he said, look, Squeaky, we need to do this.
So he was the PR person.
Yeah.
Got the media involved and the public relations and all of that good stuff in order to, yeah, it's amazing to me how fascinated people here in the U.S. are with the royal family. There's a whole, I pay attention to the big stuff. I mean, I noticed that he died. I noticed the thing about Meghan and Harry. I noticed the big stuff. But like, here, people are waiting for royal babies to be born. And when are they going to announce the pregnancy? And I was like, oh, good grief. They're just people.
They're
just people with bigger houses and more money.
Yeah, I have gone there, Edward. Yeah, I think I've met Edward, the one with the big ears. He's Edward. Yeah, Edward, one of the Queen's sons. Yeah, he gave me my trophy when I was at college.
Oh, that's fun.
And he goes, what is this for? And I don't know.
No. Oh, that's just weird. No, I have not met any royals. However, my youngest child's teacher actually attended Princess Di's wedding.
Oh.
She's like distantly related to the royals. I don't know exactly how, but so she and her family got an invite to Princess Di's wedding.
Oh.
I was like, oh, that's really weird. You're here in this tiny little Hicksville town in California, and you're invited to Princess Di's wedding. What the?
Did she fly first class or second class?
If she had to pay for the ticket, it was definitely second class.
I don't know why I said that.
She's a teacher. She's a teacher. They can't afford first class.
I thought the royals would have said, oh, we'll pay for it, it's fine.
Yeah, how many thousand people came to the wedding?
God.
But they each got, like, individual cakes, like, monogrammed weird, the party favors, wedding, whatever you get when you go to a wedding, usually you get, like, a little thing of birdseed and some, like, poster or something, but...
I got cufflinks and a plaque, and that's who I got.
Yeah, I guess they had, like, really fancy stuff that was handed out to all the guests. So she has, like, a special shelf for her fancy wedding stuff. So, you told me about your next upcoming performance, and then you said you have one after that as well. Do you want to tell us about that one?
Yeah, which I forgot where I am. I'm in Sheffield. I know I'm in Sheffield, but I forgot the venue. Tallmakers in Sheffield. Tallmakers.
Tallmakers.
Hammers.
Right. Tool makers. Got it. Tool makers. Well, also, please message me those later and I'll put them in my blog about this so people can find it. Or if you have a link, I don't know if they have those venues have links, but we'll try to make sure that people know.
I have got a few online Zoom gigs beforehand. If anyone fancies joining GMB Comedy Night Group, they do a gig every Tuesday at 8 o'clock our time. That's a good night. So, yeah, I'm doing that the first week in May, so yeah.
All right, so you got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, I'm quite busy.
Well, it seems like you have managed to gather a whole lot of comedian friends and people to participate in these things. Even if you are feeling a little down during the pandemic, you've been extremely prolific in your in what you've managed to do.
Yeah. I mean, I'm doing 2 shows a week now. So
that's exciting.
It is.
How's your subscribership doing? Are you doing well with that?
It stopped. It got to 189, and now it stopped.
Okay. You hear that, audience? Go and subscribe to Benny's YouTube so we can get those numbers moving again.
It's hard to get a foot in the world of Facebook and YouTube and TikTok. Have you tried TikTok yet?
I posted one video on TikTok, and it isn't what you would think. I posted a video, a super sped up version of me making one of my mushroom sculptures, the ones that I talked about on your show.
Yeah.
So it's like super speed of me putting it together. And I used the nutcracker in the background because there's no usage rights on that. It's like super old. Besides, it was appropriate. It was Christmas time. But no, that is the only thing that I have done as far as that goes. It's intimidating because there's just so many different platforms, and then there's like different lengths it has to be and different formats. And I imagine you additionally have a little bit of a struggle doing the social media, just the writing, right?
Yeah, I mean, again, I've got a good team around me of friends who will go, Ben, that's wrong.
Well, I've got functioning hands and mostly functioning brain most of the time, and I still have to go back and correct my posts 90% of the time. It's like, oh crap, it's supposed to be is, not if. Oh, I left, that's the wrong punctuation.
Yeah.
And you can't just talk to Siri because they like write weird, it'll write weird shit that you didn't even say.
I get that. I've got Dragon software, and even that don't understand what I'm saying, so I feel everyone's pain who can't talk properly because it's frustrating.
Right.
We've got a game on the Below the Belt game show called Jamie Gaming. Now, he is a AAC communication aid. He uses a computer to communicate. So, not Lost Voice Guy.
Okay.
Do you know who Lost Voice Guy is?
I don't know that. But...
Alright, well, it's a computer which will talk for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So we've got, you have to guess what the symbols are saying. So you've got 10 pictures. Jamie uses symbols to communicate.
Oh, wow, that sounds complicated.
Yeah, it is. So, and the comedians love it. And then we say, right, make up your own symbols. And we've had some, interesting symbols, shall I say.
Asking comedians to come up with symbols could be dangerous.
Yes, it is sometimes dangerous.
Well, here's a night. Have you tried? Do you remember the old My Fair Lady, the movie My Fair Lady, where Higgins is teaching her to be proper?
Right. Yeah.
Right. He's teaching her. She's not. Why? She's not, I'm not talking like this. Blimey, what you want? So he like puts a bunch of marbles in her mouth.
Yeah.
And he's like trying to get her to do proper elocution with a bunch of marbles in her mouth, right? I wonder if you could do an experiment. I mean, choose something edible, not like marbles, in case they actually swallow it. Like in the movie, we don't want people swallowing marbles, but like to put something in their mouth that messes up their speech, and then have them try to talk to Siri and see what happens.
Yes, I'm wondering.
Do your experience like to have a speech impediment?
Yeah, I might use that on Friday night show.
I don't know, use gumballs or something that they wind up swallowing it. It won't be too detrimental.
Yeah.
But I look forward to seeing what you come up with next, because it's a lot of fun.
Yes. We're growing it slowly. I mean, it feels like Benny Shakes Things Up podcast might have to go from a live show to a pre-recorded show, because the Loader Belt is getting so many comedians who want to do it. So, yeah, who knows what's going to happen.
Well, you know, I pre-record mine, but all of mine are pre-recorded, and the reason why is because of my anxiety. I'm afraid, I'm definitely afraid I'll screw something up. It's like, I have to have the option to cut that in case
In
case I really fuck up, I want to be able to, and really, when I edit it, there tends not to be a whole lot of editing that happens, but, you know, I'm just afraid.
Yeah, that's why I have a co-host with me, so I can say some stuff which I shouldn't really say, but that's why Kate is with me normally,
To catch things or pick up that word that leaves your head.
Yeah. I don't think you meant that, Ben. I did. No, you didn't. Oh, okay.
Yeah, I didn't mean reptile dysfunction. I meant...
She's a superstar.
Yeah, she was super sweet. Glad to be here during our interview. That was nice.
Yeah.
Well, you are very fortunate to have a backup of people. That's great. Yeah. You seem to have quite the network.
Yes. Well, because of the pandemic, we set up the Disabled Comedians Forum. That's been a real big savior for me and for others. So
yeah, well, especially, I mean, here, like I said, I don't get out to comedy a lot, but I'm friends with a huge network of comedians, and you know, it's just such a struggle here, people doing Zoom events and things like that. But their mental health, but even the able-bodied ones, are really suffering during this pandemic of just being cloistered and not being able to go out and do their material and have that outlet. Because frankly, in our country where health and mental health is not easily accessible, I find that stand-up comedy is one form of therapy for a lot of people.
I mean, maybe Prince Harry will set up another mental health charity like he has in this country. You never know.
That would be amazing. Yeah Harry, if you're out there listening, please. We need it. Especially after the last year, everybody's struggling.
Yeah. When will it end?
I know. When? I'm so happy to have my vaccine, because it's like, okay, you know, here in a few weeks, I get my second one. A few weeks after that, at least I know that myself and my boyfriend will have some protection, and then I'll feel a little more comfortable, because I've been really good about my mask wearing, and we hardly ever go out, all of that stuff. We've been very safe. But some people are running around this country like total fools, spreading it to everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
You got that going on there too, or?
Yeah, we've got it on with your kids in cars and when they shouldn't be mingling in thousands and thousands. Come on, guys. I won't even go down south to see my mum. And that's when, in theory, I'm allowed because I'm a single person, but it's not worth the risk.
Right, right. Have they been vaccinated yet?
Yeah, my dad got his before me, the lucky kid. because he's got Parkinson's disease. And my mum's just had hers, so yeah.
What, so they, are they have both the doses, or are they still waiting on the rest of it?
Dad should get his next week, and mum's will come May, June.
So you'll be able to see them soon, I hope.
Yes, hopefully. Yeah, I can't wait.
So you said before that you drive, so you have a vehicle that I assume is adapted in a way that
Here? I've got a steering ball on the steering wheel.
Okay, I think I've seen those before. It's like an additional handle on the steering wheel.
That's all I need. And it's automatic.
Well, yeah, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
I needed an automatic just because of getting stuck in city traffic and it was killing my leg.
Well, most of your cars in America are automatic.
They are not all automatic. We still have a lot of standard transmission. I grew up driving a standard transmission because I lived in the country in the foothills. And so you have a lot more power, like going up mountains and stuff, if you can control it. It's changed now. Automatics have gotten better about upcycling and stuff. Yeah. But I was so concerned about that when I bought the vehicle before the one I have now, I insisted on getting a standard because I lived up in the mountains. And then we moved down to the bay. And you do not want to get stuck in an hour of traffic in a standard transmission. It is, it was hell. So now I have an automatic. You got to have it in the city. So you're able to drive to your gigs and all of that. You don't need anybody to help you with that.
No. I mean, I like someone in the car with me, but doesn't everyone?
Yeah. It's always nice to have somebody along.
Yeah, I do go around the country with a few misfits. Comedy Misfits and Tommy Kulski and Ian Pestic and Anthony Williams. So, I can't wait till we're back on the road again.
Well, let's hope that's very soon. Well, we should probably draw this to a close, but I am so happy that you came on with me today. I really appreciate it. And is there anything else you would like to add for our folks?
Thank you for inviting me. I really said thank you for coming on the show. And
well, you're welcome. I'm glad I could make it. Well, I appreciate it, and do stay in touch. Send me the deets on your place where you're going to be. Send me the specifics, or have one of your friends send me a link to the events, and I will make sure that I share that as well. Yeah. So it's what time is it your time?
It's 8:30 now.
It's 8:30 p.m.
Yeah.
So have you had your dinner and all that already?
Yeah, I had the big dinner at work. I went to Greg's. Have you got Greg's?
Not that I know of.
It's just where a bank rolls all over some cakes.
Okay, stop. I haven't had any food yet.
I need to get some lunch.
Thank you so much, Benny. Benny Shakes, thank you for coming on. I look forward to seeing more from you. I can't wait till you're famous, and when you are, you have to promise me a ticket.
Yes, I will.
If you enjoyed this episode, you can show your support by giving the podcast a 5-star rating. And if you can spare the time, write a review. This helps put the podcast in front of more listeners. This is a one-woman show, so sometimes it takes me a little while to get everything done. Clips of this episode and the full episode will soon be available on my YouTube channel. Look me up under Esperanza Phoenix or Unpacking Life's Crazy. In the meantime, if you have questions for myself or for my daughter, Kira, you can tweet them at UnpackingLC, the Unpacking Life's Crazy Twitter account. If you'd like to support what I do, go to buymeacoffee.com/ESPPHOENIX. If you'd like to support this podcast and receive an original piece of artwork, visit my Etsy shop, esperanzapaints.com. And last but not least, I'd like to thank Chelsea Wild, who composed the music for our podcast. She's a wonderful composer and songwriter. To hear more of her original works, go to minorbirds.bandcamp.com. Thank you again for listening to Unpacking Life's Crazy. Until next time, take care of yourself and the ones you love.